Welcome to the Amazon Files podcast, brought to you by Mommy Income, where we help others start and scale businesses on Amazon by taking small, consistent steps. Here is your host, Kristen Ostrander, a 17-year e-commerce veteran who knows a thing or two about building a seven-figure Amazon empire from the comfort of her own home. Surrounded by three energetic kids and a hunky husband, she still has an insatiable desire to see others succeed.
Hey, hey, welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Amazon Files brought to you by Mommy Income. I am your host, Kristen Ostrander, and I want to talk to you about today's topic. I'm usually excited to talk to you about it, but today I'm just a little bit frustrated and I'm just going to be honest about it. And the title of today's episode is Amazon a bully? And of course, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what, who, what, when, where, why, and how you can do things to prevent them from bullying you in some sort of ways, and things you can do to be proactive. We can't be always running scared of big, bad Amazon and what they're going to do to us and our stores and our things. We do have to make some adjustments as they make changes and adjustments, but that does not mean that we don't have the ability to open cases and fight with them and ask them and persist with them to be able to uphold their own policies. So we will dive into that. But today, I really want to just make sure that you understand and remember that there is a workshop coming up in the next couple of weeks, and I really would love to have you all attend. The virtual workshop is the Confident Wholesale Bundlers Workshop. It is going to be virtual this year. We are going to have, it's a 3-day event. Now, don't freak out. It's not 3 full days, but Friday night, we're going to have a meet and greet, get to know one another, say hello, have a virtual happy hour, talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing. Either on Saturday or Sunday, you choose your session and you're going to go through the training and you're going to build bundles and you're going to have presentations where you're going to learn about other people's bundles and what they've done in their groups. And then we'll finish up on Monday night, where we will have a long and awesome and super valuable Q&A session about all that you've learned and trading ideas. There's going to be a virtual trade show walkthrough that you're going to experience while you are at this event. And it's going to be amazing. Plus, you're going to get this awesome box of goodie box full of swag and just some fun, really fun stuff for you to have as part of the virtual event. So mommyincome.com/virtual is coming up at the beginning of November. So if you want to attend, seats are filling up and I would love to be able to see you there. So okay. Also, if you are new to the Amazon Files, welcome to the show. I'm glad that you're here. And if you want to join us for further discussion, if you have questions, whether you're a beginner or advanced, or you just have some bundling questions, wholesale, retail arbitrage, anything, go to mommyincome.com/join us and use your code word. Your code word is bully. #bully, because of course we're talking about Amazon and whether or not they're being bullies. And you can join the Facebook group. So again, your code word is bully for this particular episode. Okay, so speaking of bully, is Amazon being a bully to us lately? Well, that kind of depends on how you look at it. Amazon tends to do things that are best for them because it's their company, right? I mean, we can't blame them. We're always thinking about our own bottom lines. We're thinking about our own company, our company structure, and we have to do things that are in accordance with our own business model, right? Well, as Amazon is a gigantic, basically world domination company, they can kind of do whatever they want, right? Well, what they're trying to do is reduce their own budget, their own workload, their own everything. So what they do is they subtly make little changes to be able to lead you in a certain direction. And so I think that some of this stuff is great. Leslie Hensel, I don't know if you know her. She's been on the show several times. She is co-owner of Riverbend Consulting. And what they do there is help Amazon sellers recover their accounts, get reinstated, suspension prevention so that they're not getting suspended, cleaning up their accounts, managing things like that. So that if you do have issues, that they're on your side and willing to advocate for you and file appeals and things like that. And so they know a little bit more about the insides of Amazon and what they do and don't do. And recently, Leslie was featured in an article on Web Retailer talking about Amazon and all their crazy subtle changes. And so thanks to Leslie, I'm using her article as a base for this podcast. So if you guys want to go to webretailer.com and look at Leslie's article, you can read it in full. But I'm going to give you the Cliff's Notes version because I think this is really important, whether you like to read or listen or whatever. This is really important information that people need to know to be able to move forward with Seller Central, because although they just make these subtle suggestions. So it's kind of like... I refer to it as like, maybe you have a grouchy old aunt that always likes to say little things. Like there's a commercial on TV right now where I think it might be Geico. And it's like, we have aunts. And then their aunts come in and say, oh, I hope you can keep this big house clean. You know, they say these subtle little kind of sarcastic things that just kind of get under your skin, are annoying, yet they're not directly bullyish, but they're kind of mean and suggestive. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here. So you see, Amazon has made some dramatic changes to the homepage, for example. And easily before, you could find your 7-day, 15-day, 30-day sales. It was at the right of the page. You could look at your feedback rating at any time at a glance. As soon as you opened your Seller Central account, you could see all these things. And now Amazon has decided to put different things on the homepage. Now a lot of these important data points are buried inside of Seller Central, and you can't even find them. In all these different cases, it's made to look like you have to dig and dig to find your sales numbers. And the bottom line really is that Amazon wants to do less work. They want to do less customer service for us as sellers. Now, I don't know about you, but that really makes me mad. That really makes me feel like I'm being bullied and pushed around. Why? Because if you buy something from Amazon, if you buy something from them, even something that costs $3.99, you get better customer service than sellers. And let me tell you right now, they make more money off of sellers than they do off of buyers. I don't know what your sales look like, but I know my profit and loss at the end of the year looks heavily like I pay Amazon about 33% of my revenue for their fees and all that. Now, I'm grateful that they do all the things that they do. But honestly, for all that fee, I should have a little bit more customer service. Am I right? I mean, is anyone with me here? Okay. So sorry, I don't want this to all be a rant fest, because we're addressing the problems, and then I'm going to give you a few solutions that I think are going to work and that can help you. I'm not going to promise they'll be easy, or I'm not going to promise results, because we all know everyone's results vary. I could do the same thing that you're going to do to try to fight Seller Central, and I'll probably get a different result than you. Same difference. So we're just going to talk about what we can do. But what Amazon's trying to do here is they want you to open fewer cases. I mean, the only way to get assistance from them is to open a case in the help area of Seller Central help. You know, I used to call Amazon Seller Support ASS. Yeah, because that's exactly how they act. So they really can either call you or email you. And at some point this summer, they took away even the call feature. So they'll only reach out to you via phone if it's like it escalated to a certain level, which they only do if the case has been open for a certain amount of time, or they can't seem to solve the problem, which they always are trying to just give you a canned template answer for everything. It's almost like bots are reading the email and saying, oh, this has to be this kind of issue. And then they send. Has anybody ever had an email come from Amazon that had nothing to do with the case that you opened? And it was just like, no one read this email. They just sent me back this weird response. Yes, it happens all the time. But that's just, you need to go in to Seller Central. You need to go into opening a case knowing that your problem is not going to be solved on that first email. It's just, you already know that this is just like the way you get it started. You can send them everything you want in that email, and all they're going to do is send you a canned response back. A templated email back that they pretty much send to everybody that might have this kind of problem. That's what's going to happen. So what you need to do there is you need to just know ahead of time that when you open cases, that you're going to have to persistently keep those cases open and reopen them until you get a viable response. It costs them money. It's really that simple. It costs Amazon money to constantly pay somebody to open and deal with cases. So in the past, you could open a case right on your homepage. It said manage your case log. It was very big. And now it's this tiny thing at the top right-hand corner that says messages and help. That's kind of how you get help. So they disappeared from the page because they really don't want to deal with your cases. I mean, they don't want to do customer service for sellers. They only want to do that for people who ordered something and don't like it and can return it on someone else's dime. I mean, that sounds healthy, right? Okay, no. Sounds a little bit bullyish to me. They want to do things their way. They don't really want to help the people that are helping their business kind of go on. They just want to help themselves. So reality is, they don't want you to file a bunch of cases. And so they're making it more difficult for you to do so. But it's not impossible. They just don't want it to be as easy as it was before. So regardless of how easy or difficult they want it to be, open cases regularly. If you have issues, open cases, period. You don't have to worry whether it's a tiny button at the top and it's easy or hard to contact them. Contact them anyway. And we'll talk about that towards the end of the show as well. I know I did a recent episode about this, but this is another one that's this as more changes come about. And I've had some questions about this in the Facebook group, so I wanted to address it in a longer-winded version because it's hard to always write all these answers in the Facebook group. Okay. The other thing that Amazon wants you to stop doing is asking for feedback removal. This has been a pain in their neck for so long because feedback and reviews are two totally different things. And feedback is supposed to tell the customer about the experience buying from this particular seller. That's what seller feedback is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, I bought something from Joe Schmo, and I want to leave feedback for Joe Schmo about the experience, not about the product, not about the delivery, about the experience with that seller. So if the product is junk, I can't say the product is junk in the feedback. I have to say I can write a product review, which is different. But seller feedback just rates how the seller delivered a product. Did it arrive as described? Did it arrive? All these things. Reality is that buyers have been leaving feedback for sellers, only they've been leaving product reviews. Or they say something like, this is cheap Walmart junk, whatever they're saying. And they have a feedback policy. So, of course, when you get something that appears to be a product review or it names another store or another establishment, if it says something like you can get this at the dollar store instead of, you know, whatever, that is entitled to be removed. Amazon doesn't want any other store names or bad words or any sort of degrading language, things like that in feedback. So, of course, if they say something about the actual product review, product was crap, you know, I'm asking for a return, something like that, you can request feedback removal because that strikes against you and your metrics. And if your metrics go down, Amazon has the right then to decide you can't sell in certain categories at certain times a year, or they lower your storage limits, or they lower the amount that you can actually sell. So you don't want to have these kind of problems. So you want to keep your metrics nice and clean. The problem is if you get a 1, 2, or 3 star and you request the feedback, they don't want you to. So they're making it more difficult over the past couple of years. They're trying to automate it. The problem with automation is that bots don't always pick up on the language that you want them to. So now they're trying to minimize that. And sometimes they say, sorry, this doesn't qualify for removal. And then they don't really want you to open cases and things like that. So asking for a negative review opens a case and requires work for them, which means they have to pay more people out of their pocket, which Amazon doesn't like. And so you see the trend here, right? They don't want to spend any more money on helping sellers and customer service related issues. So my thing to you is still file for the feedback removal. Every time you get a negative that's not actually deserved, I mean, come on now, let's be honest. Occasionally we deserve a negative feedback. We sent the wrong product. We send it late. We didn't send it at all. But, you know, delivery issues with addresses or if it has to do with FBA and it's delivery, that's on them. And so you want to make sure that you point that out to them, get that removed because it affects your metrics. You want to make sure you do that right. So again, file the cases, file for feedback removal every single time you get a 3, 2, or 1 star. Even if Amazon doesn't like it and they're trying to automate it, reach out to them and argue with them. That is going to be the running theme for all of this. Reach out to them and don't take no for an answer, especially if you have evidence and you have policies that you can quote and you can get it to the right team. Don't just take no for an answer. Don't just lay down and say, okay, Amazon, you're right. Poor me, you know, do the Eeyore thing. No. Like if you honestly believe that this is a negative feedback that should be removed according to Amazon's policy, then quote their policy in the email that you send them. Let them know, according to this terms of service, according to your feedback policy quoted in Seller Central here, maybe even put a link to that specific policy and then say, according to this feedback, again, quote the feedback, is a violation of said policy that I just put in this email, and I would like it removed based on this policy. I'm not guaranteeing you're going to get an answer for that, but that's the best way to present to them, somebody who needs to read it and understand that this is the policy, this is how it's violated, this is the exact language, please remove it. If they say no, you come back and do it again. I would say three times a charm. If they keep saying no after three times and they end up sending you an email that says, we are no longer dealing with this case, then that's kind of their final answer. But I would not stop until they give you one of those final answer emails, because they're really just passing the buck, or someone's literally just skimming it, or maybe not someone at all and no one's reading it. They're just saying, no thanks, no thanks. Well, you know, no one's going to fight for your business except you. So I would continue to be particular about your metrics and your feedback. Now, if you honestly deserve it, then so be it. But, you know, you're just going to have to work to get better metrics and things like that. But honestly, if it's something that violates their policy, hold them accountable as much as humanly possible. The more people that hold them accountable for their own policies, the better things are going to be for everyone. It's going to take a lot of us to continue doing the right things for us to maybe get the right responses. This year has been especially challenging for us all. With all the unrest in the world and a lingering pandemic, there seems to be no good news in sight. I would like to change that. I've actually got some great news. 2020 has been a great year for Amazon sellers, and due to the pandemic, online sales are through the roof. And now is one of the best times to get serious about growing your business. Although I would love to meet you and host a live workshop, your health and safety is of the utmost importance. Your business growth is also extremely important, which is why you shouldn't have to wait until next year to become more confident with bundling. Here's the great news. The Confident Wholesale Bundlers Workshop is going virtual. 2020 has made many of us feel isolated and lonely and worried about our future, and we cannot let 2020 steal any more of our hope or our confidence, or worse, our profits. So what are the benefits of the virtual workshop? First of all, it is a safe and healthy environment for all. That means anyone and everyone can participate without worrying about travel expenses or pandemics or anything like that. There's live interactive group work, even virtually. You're going to learn to create a bundle from start to finish. Plus, all of the recordings of every training session, including your group work, will be recorded, and you can use it as much as you'd like after the fact. Plus, you're going to walk away with 10 new bundle ideas, up to 10 new bundle ideas that you can start researching and bringing to the marketplace right away. So if you're ready to eliminate your competition and turn your research into profits, this workshop is for you. If you want to learn how to create a profitable bundle in just a few hours with some guided training, this virtual workshop is for you. And if you want to connect with great people and walk away with up to 10 new bundle ideas, this workshop is definitely for you. It's time to stop letting 2020 steal away all that is good in the world. It's time to take back the control and decide to do something better for your business right here and right now. In order to maximize the learning experience through small group work, there are only 25 seats available for each workshop date. This virtual workshop is going to be informative. It's going to be hands-on bundle training that you can't get anywhere else. And I can't wait to dig in with you to learn wholesale bundles together. Head over to mommyincome.com/virtual and secure your spot. And for my savvy podcast listeners, I have a special offer code for you. Enter the code WORKSHOP20 at checkout and receive special pricing. Again, that's WORKSHOP20, only for your podcast listeners. Grab your spot at mommyincome.com/virtual. Okay, the next thing that Amazon's dealing with is they want to lower prices on their platform. Has anybody gotten one of those price alerts on their account that basically says this is a low price alert? They take your listing off, they don't suspend the listing, but they'll close it and they'll say, your price is too high. And so you go in and you realize that 5 to 10 other competitors have a lower price than you, and yet you're getting a high price alert. Or how about on the Amazon homepage, when you go right, you log into Seller Central and there's these match low price or match buy box price little boxes. Okay. There's these little boxes that you see there. And it shows you the buy box price, or your price, your current price. And it gives you this big blue button to push update price. Well, they're really just trying to drive down prices. The reality is, you don't have to match that buy box price. You don't have to match that lower price. Hell, we don't even know until we actually dig in how many, if that person has 2 or 3 left, there's no way I'm lowering my buy box price. they'll sell out in a few hours and then I'll get my price. But it's their way of kind of bullying you into thinking. It's like a psychological thing. If they're bullying you into thinking that you're not going to make sales if you don't lower your price. The reality is, it's simply not the truth. If this is a good selling item and someone ahead of you maybe has two or three left in stock, maybe they have 100 left in stock, but it sells 100 a day. There's not enough information here for me to just hit that update price box, especially if it's going to make me lose money. That's another thing you need to pay attention to. You might be tempted to match the price, which can be done with a single click right from there. The problem is there's not enough context in that little update price box for me to make a decision. They don't even show you if that person there is prime or merchant fulfilled. They don't show you your SKU. So you can look at the SKU maybe. Well, maybe there's the SKU on there. I can't see it in the moment. But in my SKU, I build in my break-even price. So I want to know what my break-even price is. And so when you're looking at that, you want to make sure that you're making all the right decisions, and just hitting update price on that Seller Central front box is not going to work for your bottom line. It's going to work for Amazon's bottom line. This is a bad strategy because they're not giving you all of the information. You don't want to match a merchant fulfilled buy box price when you've got a prime eligible product. So the best thing that you can do here is do not rely on Amazon to tell you to lower or raise prices. You need to look into your own inventory, your own break even, look at the competition, see what's out there before you just start automatically lowering prices. Don't rely on Amazon repricing software. How about just some common sense? Look, it takes time, right? It does. It takes time to go into your listings and look at the prices and make sure that you're being competitive and that you have stock and that your competitors may or may not have stock, or that you're comparing apples to apples instead of apples to oranges. Basic bottom line, do the work yourself. Because if you're going to rely on Amazon to make all these fun suggestions for you, they don't care about your bottom line. They don't even know what your cost is at that point. They're just telling you, hey, this is the buy box price. I dare you to match it. It's like this little taunting, like bully, you know? And so it's really frustrating. So don't worry about that. Instead, do your own research, do your own pricing, you know, use a repricer from a different company, a third party that you can set the different rules on, and then forget about what Amazon's trying to say. But the high price alerts, those are things that, unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of suggestions for the high price alerts. They are based on bots. So it's not Amazon individually going into the listing and going, hey, I think I'll make a suggestion that this guy just has a high price. I mean, let's be real, you guys. It's a multi-billion dollar company. Most of the things that are happening inside of Seller Central have to do with automatic bots and things that are just picking up on high prices, things like that. There's mistakes. It's a computer. They're going to make mistakes. And Amazon's not going to go through and pick out every little mistake. That's on you. So I suggest you go in, if you're getting high price alerts, argue with them. Take screenshots. I can't say this enough. I've said this a couple of times, and I'm saying it again. Take screenshots of everybody else's pricing and show them. You know, this has happened. A client has come to me and said, oh my gosh, I got this high price alert. My price is, you know, $29.99 and everyone else's price is higher than that. And yet they're telling me I have a high price alert. Take a screenshot of the other offers in the moment and say, I'm getting a price alert for this. As you can see on the screen, these people have higher prices than I do. I don't want this high price alert. I want this to be at this price. They can't force you to price your stuff at certain things. You should be able to price your stuff however you want to. And if someone doesn't buy from you, that's your problem. It's not Amazon's problem. They don't care if you sell something or not. They're getting their storage fees no matter what. But the reality is they're trying to force people with these high price alerts to do that. So prove to them, number one, that you don't have to have the same price as anyone else. There are no, that I know of, I've read the terms and service way too many times and it changes often. They made some big changes, I think, last summer to the terms of service, but they're always updating policies and things like that. So look for their pricing policy. There's nothing that says that you can't price something at a certain level. If someone doesn't want to buy your $100, you know, USB cord, then they don't want to buy it. But the reality is you can price it that high. They try to give you these suggestions of price alerts of saying, oh, you might have made a mistake here by pricing this at $99. We just wanted to let you know by closing your listing. No, they're not going to close your listing. You need to fight with them is what I'm saying. They'll close your listing or they'll remove it and say, oh, this price is too high. And you basically have to lower your price until you're not making any money. And then they'll let your listing back on. But that has a lot to do with suggested retail price that people enter when they put the listing in and all this different stuff. Fight with them. Open a case. Use screenshots to show them the evidence. If you have the evidence and you show them that these other people have the different prices than you, you don't have to have that price alert on there. You don't have to be compliant to the prices they have. Instead, you can say, no, I want to sell this for $99 and please change it. Keep the cases open until you do that. Okay. Next issue that we're talking about is this. This is laughable to most of us, right? You've seen the seller polls on Seller Central where they ask you questions and you're supposed to answer whether you strongly agree or strongly disagree. I bet many of you have seen these and you are like, I'm not answering that because my answer is heck no. I don't feel supported as a seller by Amazon or, you know, some of the questions that they have. And you're scared that if you answer negatively, then it's going to come back on you somehow. And the reality is the only reason they're asking this question is for the people that actually do answer that they agree. They just basically want to use the positive evidence to say, see, our sellers love us. It's a whole bunch of BS. But that's what they're trying to do. Most sellers are afraid to answer because they think they might have revenge or retaliation. I know that sounds a little bit like conspiracy theory type things, but honestly, a lot of people are scared to death of Amazon and big bad Amazon and what they can do to you and your store. But these are some of the questions that kind of come through that are really laughable. I feel connected to other Amazon sellers. You strongly agree or strongly disagree. My question is, why the heck does that matter? Why do you feel the need to be connected to other sellers? I mean, I understand that from our perspective from here, but why is Amazon asking us that? Why do they care if we're connected with other sellers? We're connected with other sellers outside of Amazon, so we can talk about all the BS that goes on inside Amazon, right? No, but they say, I trust that my inventory that I send to FBA is handled appropriately. No, it's not. No, we don't agree with that. We strongly disagree that you handle our FBA inventory appropriately. But why should we tell you that if there's going to be no way for us to get answers with that? How about Amazon protects me when I report a customer for taking advantage of my business? Nope. We don't feel protected at all. As a matter of fact, we feel wide open and vulnerable. We feel like just wide open in a field with vultures kind of circling around our heads waiting to attack. Sometimes that's how we feel when we're dealing with Amazon. If you really want to know, Amazon, how we feel about how you treat us, there's the real answer. Thousands of people feel the same way. And I'm telling you, most of the time that they won't answer honestly. Either they won't answer at all, or they won't answer honestly because they're scared of retaliation. The reality is, I answer every single one completely honestly. I want them to know that I'm not happy with how they treat us as sellers, period. And the only way to tell them that is this. Now, what they do with that information, they probably don't give a rip about it. That's just honest. But those are some things that, you know, you can do to continually tell Amazon, no, we're not satisfied with you. And the other thing you can do about that is almost on every single case that you open, when Amazon responds to you with an answer, at the bottom, it will say something like, take this short survey. Did this thing help you? Did it help you or not? And the answer is no, it didn't help. Give a comment. It gives you this answer to say, was this helpful? Yes or no? And then you say no. And then they want you to give an explanation. Now, whether that's on the actual Seller Central rep and they get fired for that or whatever else, doesn't matter at this point. Give your feedback if they're asking for it. Eventually, they'll probably just stop asking for it. But every single time you get a seller support answer from a case, it gives you this little survey at the bottom or something to click to basically say, how was your experience? Tell them how crappy it was. Tell them. Say, I received a templated response. I didn't feel like I was served at all. I didn't feel like I got any sort of answers. This case is still open. I'm still having issues. There's no real help. Tell them. What's the worst that could happen? You're already dealing with problems. They're not going to come and comb through your account and figure out a way to just get you out of here because you answered negatively. So just tell them. stop being so afraid of them. You know, it's like you think they have, they don't even have enough people to answer all of our Seller Central questions and things. Do you think they have just people out there to be like, oh, I'm going to pick on Sally and Susie today. And I'm going to, you know, just suspend their account because they sent negative feedback. No, they're not doing that. They don't have time for that. They don't want to pay anybody to do that. That's the reality. They're too cheap. They can't even pay anybody to help us for real, let alone try to backdoor, you know, ruin our account somehow. I mean, honestly. So what's a seller to do? What are we going to do with all of this bullying that's going on with Amazon? Honestly, here's what you do. You file your cases anyway, and you set yourself reminders to follow up. So Leslie's saying this in her article. I've been saying this, follow up, follow up, follow up. If you're going to open a case and be ready to answer them the moment they answer you back. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to get the answer that you want right away. So you're going to have to keep following up, set a reminder to check, set a reminder, or better yet, hire a VA that can keep up on these cases and give them what to say. Because you know what? Honestly, you're going to have the same problems over and over again. If you have a problem with this listing, eventually you're going to have another problem with another listing. And what you're going to have to do is file that report. You're going to have to file a case again. So create yourself some templated emails that you can send to them. Make sure you can train a VA how to take screenshots of things and be like, okay, you got a price alert. This is the SP. This is the SOP for that. The standard operating procedure. When we get this kind of price alert, these are the steps we follow a case. You can create that in a few minutes and then give it to a VA and they can be your case manager. Or you can hire someone like Riverbend or some other companies that basically do account management and they'll do it for you. Whatever you want to do is fine. But I'm just telling you, keep the cases open. No one's going to solve your business problems but you. And that's just the way it's going to be. So keep the cases open. Get the help that you need. Check your feedback every day and file the feedback removal requests as needed. I don't care if Amazon makes it hard for you. File the feedback request. Why? Because if you don't, you just leave those there. Only if they're invalid, then you need to, that affects your metrics, which then affects so many other things. So fight for your own feedback. When Amazon refuses to remove the feedback, use your seller response. There's a seller response area there. And it says you can tell your side of the story. And so at that point, you can at least respond to a negative feedback. So if someone's going to actually read those, you'd be like, oh, this person actually did this or this. Don't allow Amazon to bully you around. Respond to them. They give you a place to respond. So respond if they won't remove it. And finally, do your own repricing. Make pricing decisions based on your own bottom line and whether or not you're FBA or merchant fulfilled. Compare your numbers to competing offers. Look at what other sellers have in stock. Use a repricer outside of Amazon or your own common sense, not Amazon's recommendations. Because they're not looking at the big picture. They don't care about your bottom line, only their own. They continue to offer the best platform. And I know it's like beat up Amazon day. And I don't mean to be like that, but I also do. If we're going to play on their playground, we have to play by their rules. But that doesn't mean that they can just bully us around. They're really just making suggestions and recommendations. And then you can go beyond that and say, no, I'm going to request feedback anyway. Even though you're making it harder for me, I'm going to do that. Even though you're going to make it more difficult for me to see my daily sales or look and change my prices or open cases, I'm going to do it anyway because I need the help that I need to keep moving. So don't rely on them. Focus on your own numbers, your own ways. If you've got a lot of SKUs in a big business, then you're going to need to hire some help for this. You should not be spending time on feedback removal and making in these types of things. Have somebody, hire someone in your business a couple days a week, even a couple hours of VAs are great. I have a VA for this to be able to do the feedback things and requesting reimbursements and making sure that Amazon is doing their part because they're not going to regulate themselves. They could care less. So because of that, you have to regulate your own stuff and hire somebody to do that. Look into some different, you can find a VA on like Upwork or freelance or, you know, some of these other different companies that do, you know, hiring VA. I think there's VA for Hire, VAs in the Philippines, you know, all kinds of different things. There's tons and tons, even on Fiverr. you can find some people to do maybe projects or one-off jobs, or eventually build relationships with somebody that can do it on a regular basis. You guys, this is not difficult work. It's just work and it's time consuming. And if you are making buying decisions and you're doing research and you're bringing products to the marketplace, you don't have time for this stuff. So you need to hire your own customer service to basically help you or help your business maintain what you need to maintain. So this is just, is Amazon being a bully? Kinda. What do you do to fight bullies? You kind of have to stand up for them, stand up to them to a point. I mean, can we really stand up to Amazon? I can tell you, I feel completely helpless sometimes standing up to Amazon because there isn't some sort of, you know, advocate for us. There's not somebody I can contact and be like, hey, Amazon's not following their own rules and, you know, they need a timeout. I wish that was a thing, but it really isn't. And so we have to really just do our best to hold them to their policies. And I love to quote their own policies to them within an email stating that they're not upholding their end of the deal. And having it in writing is really helpful to keep track of that for future cases, because then I can just pull the email templates, the same one that I had to pull before, and just basically send it to them. So keep these things going. Don't get discouraged. I mean, you're going to get discouraged. Let's be honest. I'm discouraged sometimes, but knowing that you just keep being persistent, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So be the squeaky wheel. Get what you want from Amazon by continuing to hold their feet to the fire. If they're doing something wrong against their own policy, that customer service rep on the end of that phone or the end of that email, they really don't know all the policies. They were hired to do a job. They're supposed to send these emails when these words come up, whatever, they're supposed to clear their cache like every 10 seconds or something like that. Like, that's what I heard. So they're not really reading, they're skimming, they're sending off an email and they're done. That's what they do all day long. So open the cases, force them to take a deeper look at what you're sending, because there's a lot of people out there, they're competition, they're not paying attention, they don't care. And eventually their business is going to go downhill. But be proactive about what you're doing and inside of your own account. And I just hang in there, because this is the way it goes. It's really difficult sometimes. I've been changing a lot of different things, but hang in there, because it's still, if you sell products, Amazon's still the very best place to sell them, because they're dominating the market. Everybody's on Amazon. Everybody buys from Amazon. Everybody has the Amazon app on their phone. 86% of US households are Prime members as of 2019 January. I think that was the most recent. You guys, everybody has Amazon. So we're not going away if we're selling product. What we're going to do is be our own advocate for our own account, and we're going to fight with them. And at least for me and my business, they're going to have 10 cases open at a time, and they're going to handle them, and they're going to give me a good solid explanation and reason. Otherwise, I'm going to keep arguing with them. And so it's time consuming, but hire someone to do it for you, or have a specific day and time where you're like, today, all I'm going to do is Seller Central cases. But hang in there. Know that you can still file all these things, that they can't just bully you off of not doing this. So take the time to explore Seller Central a little bit. Find out where all these hidden things are that used to be there that now are kind of hidden behind 14 different reports, but they're there. Look for them. And just hang in there and know that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So be the squeaky wheel. Don't forget about the virtual workshop. I'd love to see you there. MommyIncome.com/workshop. And keep listening, because there is going to be a coupon code at the end of this podcast. So thanks so much. I'll see you same time, same place next week on The Amazon Files.
Thank you for being a loyal listener. If you are ready to take your business to a whole new level, I'm ready to work with you. Visit mommyincome.com/coach to schedule your one-on-one call today. I'll be back next week with more strategies to help you succeed. Until then, step small and dream big.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Amazon Files podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes by heading over to mommyincome.com/review. The Amazon Files will be back again next week. Thanks again for listening.